Blog Talk Radio.
My groove, much love, do me right, treat me right, you know, just make it right, whatever it is. Even pay me right. Don't give me a check, give me cash. Let's just make it clean, right? Anyway, what's happening, everybody? This is Wardell Potts Jr. for Solar Records Radio. Welcome to Solar Records Radio on this beautiful Friday, and we want to let you know that today and every Friday we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records, and that is Solar Records. And there's only one, and that's the one in Los Angeles, California, and it was the one that made all that noise. It really blessed you with all these amazing artists. So let me just tell you, Solar Records is the company that have Lakeside, Dynasty, Shalimar, Midnight Star, The Deal, Carrie Lucas, Collage, The Whispers, The Silvers. That's Solar Records. And I'm that's the Solar Records we're celebrating. And I know there's a lot of other Solar everything, even Solar Records Radio. There's so many Solars, so I don't want you to get it confused. We're only talking about one Solar Records, and that's the one in Los Angeles, California. That's where Dick Griffey was the one that actually made that happen and come to life, and we're so grateful that he blessed us with great timing, because it worked out so good for us that we all could be together, right? And he just pulled us from all over the country, from different places, you know, from Philadelphia, from Ohio, you know, and just like different parts of the United States, people were coming to be a part of this amazing thing. Watts, California, you know, that's the Whispers are from Watts. Watts is tough, man. You know, I've been down there, and I've been blessed down in Watts. As a matter of fact, I actually did some stuff down there. I played in a church down there and on Central Boulevard in Watts, California. And, you know, I really sometimes different beautiful things that happen in places that have a bad rep, right? And so you have to look for the beauty inside of the darkness. And I was able to find it, except for the one time when the first time I went out there and I went to see this girl, and I happened to spend the night out there on New Year's Eve. Oh my Lord, what was I thinking? I thought I was in Vietnam or something. They were shooting all kind of stuff, and then the girl's parents asked, "Do you want to shoot?" I was like, "No, I don't want to shoot. I just want to go. I want to go home, man." I didn't tell them that though, right? I was just like, "No, I don't do guns. But y'all go and do your thing." I was a nervous wreck, man. I was like, "Man, I can't wait to get out of here." But anyway, like I said, there's in the best of every place you go, all right? There's no place in another. I mean, Beverly Hills is a wonderful place, but some really bad things happen there. As a matter of fact, one of my friends from the group Crystal died there. She was making a U-turn, and we lived up in Beverly Hills. We are way, this part of Beverly Hills, we are up in the hills, and we were way up there, and she had made a U-turn because she got her purse at our house. It's house that Leon Silvers and myself and Les Cooper lived in together. It was actually had the recording studio in there, and so we lived there. And so the groups would come up there and record with us because we were getting so busy. We had to have just studios everywhere. We still were at the studio in Los Angeles, which was on Beverly Boulevard, Studio Masters. We still had that place consumed. We had the studio in Santa Monica on Santa Monica Boulevard, which was called Larrabee Studios. We had that consumed 24/7. And so we were just like, it was so busy till we had another studio. And so we had this other studio up in Beverly Hills, and so we stayed there and we worked our hearts out. And so anyway, my friend D from Crystal came to record on their project, and she got there. She didn't get the message that the schedule had gotten changed. And I was like, "D, no, it's not this morning. We're working tonight." And she said, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, that's not, yeah." I said, "But you're here. You might as well just go on and stay and chill and relax and stuff." She was like, "No. I was like, what do you mean, no, no, no? She said, I'm going to go back home and go back to sleep. I said, you can stay here and sleep. What are you talking about? You can sleep in my room. And, I mean, it wasn't that kind of, I wasn't, I'm telling you guys, don't even, Greg, don't start nothing. But anyway, I'm just saying, I was just telling her, offering her my room, and she's like, no, I need to go home. And so I think she wanted to, there was some other stuff that she wanted to get while she was there. So she decided to go home. And as she was driving home, she realized that she left her purse. So she made a U-turn on a very small street going down the side of the mountain. And when she made that U-turn, a part of her tires did not, when she was making that turn, it did not, it went off the road. And when it went off the road, the car just tumbled all the way down to the bottom of the mountain. And Dee survived that part of it, and she jumped out the car when it hit the bottom. And this is from eyewitnesses that shared this. And she jumped out, and she was in shock. Like, what just happened? I can't believe this has just happened to me. And so then the ambulance came from the eyewitnesses they had called, and they got her and put her inside the ambulance. But on the way to the hospital, you know, she passed away because of all of her internal injuries had just taken her out. Sorry, just so sad. But she was just, she was a good girl. She was my buddy. And so, and we lost her. So good things, you can be in a good city and bad things happen. You can be in bad city and good things happen. That's the way it is. It's all good. So anyway, this is Wardell Pasture with Solar Records Radio. You just heard I Just Begun to Love You by Dennis. I'm going to play you a couple songs. This time I'm going to play a little bit because I'm, you know, Greg and everybody knows the songs that I like because those are the ones that I play a lot. And then I play, like, if people, you know, ask me, you know, can you play this or can you play that? So if there's anything specific that you want me to play, just a message you could put on the page if you want, or you can put it where else can you put it? You can put it on the page, or you can send it to me through Messenger, or you can send it to Greg or whatever, and he'll let me know. Okay, guys, so much love to all of you guys. We love you very, very much. I'll play a song called Special, and this song is called Special, and it's by Lakeside. And I mean, this is another one of the album cuts. So I'm going to play you a few album cuts from the different artists and stuff, because I'm always playing the singles and the hits and stuff. So, then I'm going to play a song also for you from Dynasty that William Shelby really did a great job on, featuring William Shelby, the late William Shelby, our brother, who we love very much and miss very much. All right? So y'all ready for this? Y'all ready to get going? Okay, here we go. So I already said you.
Oh,
Goodness gracious, you know, that song right there Out the Box, we recorded it the same day or evening. We started out very early in the studio recording And the Beat Goes On for the Whispers. And the second song that we recorded was Out the Box. It's the song that you just heard. So anyway, I want to play you another song that, you know, that wasn't a single here in the United States. You never know what happens in the UK, but check it out here on Solar Records Radio. We love you and appreciate you, and thank you so much for hanging out with us today on Solar Records Radio.
You be
was so much fun. That was so much fun recording in the studio with Ernest Pepperi doing that solo at the end of the song. And man, oh man, we had so much fun. It was just blessings. So, but with that being said, I'm playing you things that, you know, you probably haven't heard before from Solar, but I also want to play you an interview that I did with my group and just hearing, let's just check it out and see what they're talking about.
Coming on to the show today. This is an incredible opportunity for me to introduce some of the most incredible people in my life. The first group that I ever had the opportunity to play with professionally, and the name of the group is Dynasty. But the ones that we do have on the phone live, I would like to introduce you to each and every single one of them. From the group Dynasty, we have Ricky Smith, we have Linda Carrier, and we have Richard Randolph, and also myself, Wardell Potts, from the group Dynasty.
Now, I was just going to say, everybody can greet everybody. Everybody's mic is open.
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
How's everybody doing?
All great. Right, this is great. First of all, Linda, you are the lady, and I'd just like to say thank you so much for taking the time out to get on the microphone and have this conversation with us. It's been a long, long time, and we know Ricky's about to go on stage, and so we can't avoid talking. We got to get as much out of him as we can as possible. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna just pass it around and let Ricky start off with this first question that I have and stuff, and we'll just pass it on around, okay? And Ricky, I wanted to ask you, like, you know, getting with Dynasty for the first time, how did all that come about for you?
I guess after playing with the Silvers, and then I kind of hooked up with Leon after that. And, you know, it kind of started from just writing, really, you know, and then Leon had asked me to be in the group. You know, and I was like, sure, it'd be great, you know. And it was really nice. I mean, you know what I mean? It was really, really nice to be a part of the whole Dynasty group, you know, because it was so much talent inside of the group, you know. And I don't think that people are really, really aware of how much talent, you know what I mean? I mean, with all the individuals that was a part of that
group,
you know. But, that's pretty much how I, you know, got in, was through Leon, and the rest was history.
There you go. Linda?
Hi.
Hey, how did you end up with Dynasty, sweetie? How did that happen for you?
I knew Nydra from an earlier incarnation. We'd worked together, and she met Leon, and Leon was planning this next group. He had already developed a relationship with Dick Griffey at Solar Records, and he met me soon after Nydra. She introduced us, and he told me what he was planning to do, and he asked me to be a part of it. So I accepted, and we started talking about material soon after and what the group would be soon after. So I was part of it from its inception, pretty much.
Okay, great. Richard?
Yes.
And you, do you remember the question?
The question was, how did I get involved in this music dynasty?
Right.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Spencer and Ricky Smith and myself played together in a few local bands back in the day. And one evening, Kevin asked me to go over to Leon's house with him because he had been playing in the Silvers and yada, yada. But anyway, he asked me to bring my guitar, you know, and at the time I didn't know I was being auditioned for Dynasty. I didn't know anything of it until then. And my first encounter with everyone that was involved in the so-called Throwdown Brothers was, I think it was at the record plant, I think, and they were recording The Beat Goes On. And I had yet to play with most of these guys other than Kevin and Ricky, but when I heard that track of that music, I said, I knew it was going to be a hit, you know what I mean? So at that moment, I felt like I was being involved in something that was special.
Right. And basically, you know, I can answer my own question as well. I got involved in the group because of Tony Westcott and Terrence Floyd, Leon had called Tony Westcott, asked him to play for Dynasty. And Tony Westcott was the drummer for the Silvers. And Tony had decided that he had some other things he wanted to do, so he called me up and asked me if I would come out to California and audition. And so I did, and I auditioned. It took a while. It took quite a while, for about 3 weeks or so. I stayed at Mrs. Spencer's house, Kevin Spencer's mom's house, for about 3 weeks before I actually got a chance to audition. I did the audition, and it was over. Just, you know, it was quick, and it was over. And he told me I made the audition. And Richard, I just wanted to say that right after that, we went in the studio and recorded, and the beat goes on.
Wow.
And so, because wow. I actually thought I was going home. I said, well, when you guys get ready, Leon, just let me know, and then I'll come back. He said, no, you can't go nowhere because we get ready to go in the studio and record. And we went in the studio, we recorded, and the beat goes on that week. And then the next week, we did Second Time Around for Shalimar. So it was just like you knew something special was going on. You know, I didn't. Unlike you, I didn't know. We were just recording, and I was like, it was just something that was happening. It just, that whole Dynasty thing just happened for me.
Right.
So, but anyway, DA?
No, I was just sitting here, and first of all, I just want to welcome all of you all to the show. I do appreciate you taking out your time. And if I seemed a little hurried or a little earlier, that kind of comes into this whole production kind of thing. But I do so appreciate you all taking such a time to, you know, come
welcome.
On the show. And I'm trying to be real conscious of Ricky's time since he is due to perform in just a few moments. So let me throw this question at Ricky, and then I'll come back to the question with you all a little later in the segment. But Ricky, let me ask you this. Being a part of a group like Dynasty that was, that was really creating some trends and doing some things that were a little different with the industry, what do you perceive as the greatest contribution that Dynasty contributed to the direction of music?
I would think just all of the originality and all of the individuals, because everyone had like a different expression, like the Richard and Kevin and Will and, you know, all the musicians, you know, everyone just kind of had their own style. And I think that
right.
That's what really made the Solar sound, really. And Leon kind of was the orchestrator that kind of, you know, just kind of put everything together. It was like, okay, yeah, play this, play that. And I think it was just all the different personalities that really, really made that sound. You know what I mean? Because it's like when we were in the studio together, it was like, it's like just a natural feeling. You know how music is? It's just, to me, it's just a feel. And everybody got in and we would play together. Sometimes I might look at Richard, I might look at Leon, or we might catch a quick groove or something. But that was just the part of music that I felt like that really made us so long time. And it was fresh, man. You know, it was like...
Right.
It was really, really fresh. It was bright. The vocals were bright. Everything was tight. You know, it was great, man. And to just be a part of it for me was a great experience working with Nydra, Linda, and everyone. I mean, it was like a big family. I mean, I felt like the baby of the family, so to speak, because I think I was the youngest, I think. So,
yeah, but you sure didn't look the youngest.
I felt a little special, but it was really, really nice how I felt like the group had embraced me, you know, and made me feel very much a part of it. But not only that, it was just that this group, and I have to say this in all honesty, because a lot of times there are groups that are out there that set trends, and this group really set a trend. A lot of times there are other people that get the recognition for it, but this group, I'm telling you, man, was a group that really, really set that whole thing up.
Okay, that's great. Because I know when I was listening to, you know, putting the show together and listening to a lot of material, and I kind of picked with Wardell a little earlier, right before the show, and I said, man, you know, I was listening to this one track, and I thought I was getting ready to hear another song that another group had done, because the thing that I wasn't aware of is how many hit, excuse me, quote unquote, hit records, and they were, that in the backdrop of that was Dynasty. And, I mean, it blew my mind as I was going through and Wardell began to tell me the story. And again, I just commend you all, for what you've done. And I agree, a lot of times the musicians and the artists, the vocalists who are behind a lot of the music that actually does make a mark, they don't get the recognition. And that's why I'm really honored to be able to have this conversation with you all.
Well, listen, you know, I don't mean to cut it so short, but I have to run.
I know.
I love you all. Linda, I love you.
Bye, Ricky. I'll talk to you soon. You're wonderful. Thank you.
Call me, Wardell. Okay, I will. D,
yes,
take care.
Yes. All right.
Thank you so much. Okay.
All right, Ricky. Have a good show, man.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. God bless you.
Bye.
And that was Ricky Smith, who was with Dynasty as well, and he did take out the time to call, and he is doing a performance. Anything that I didn't get to mention to Ricky, but I will mention it to the rest of you all just before we go into this next segment, is I absolutely loved all of the musicianship on Dynasty's material as well as the other artists that you all record for. But the only thing that I'm going to say, and we're going to take a small break, is in my humble opinion, you could have found a different drummer. We'll be right back. And that was Do Me Right, baby. That was by none other than Dynasty. And I have to say, you all, I was making a joke with Wardell about the drummer. He knows
it's
much love to my brother, but you know, hey, he could have put the pants on. Yeah, you at least could have played with pants on instead of short shorts and suspenders. We'll talk about that on a different show.
By the way, you guys, I just want y'all to know that DA is from Philadelphia, just like me, and he's a jazz drummer. He's a jazz drummer just like me as well.
Awesome.
Okay.
Oh, excellent.
He's got a lot of hate in his heart for me, but it's all good.
Now, I want to come back to the question that I asked Ricky, and I like all of you all's feedback. Linda, for you, what do you think is one of the greatest contributions that Dynasty made, especially being such, I've got to go here, especially being such a talented, beautiful young lady who is out in the forefront.
You ain't lying.
Yes. Wardell, hush. Okay. But what do you think one of the greatest contributions was, Linda?
You know what? I'm really, really happy to have the opportunity to, in retrospect, to talk about the musicians in the band. I was in a very different setting, a different perspective. I was an artist. I was one of the artists. So I was, you know, musicians who are listening will get this in that I was like from the spoiled class. I was, you know, I didn't go through everything the musicians went through. Things were a little more catered for me. But we really, I know everybody's heard this a million times that we were a family, but we really had some amazing relationships. And these guys are and were amazingly talented. And as Ricky said, when I was listening to him, he talked about how Leon was pretty much the orchestrator. He was. He had the beginning in. He had a history already. He had been part of the Silvers. So he had the in. He began it. But he collected some amazingly talented musicians who really enabled him to start this sound and this movement that affected so many artists, not just on the Solar label, Whispers, Lakeside, Chalmar, Dynasty, not just them, but other acts. I remember all these acts, even Whitney Houston calling and saying, you know, I need a song, and that's when you're hot, when you have a hit, artists come out of the woodwork, and they're record companies, and they're asking you, please, you know, I want one of those songs, I want you to write me this, I want you to write me that, and that's what was happening at the time. Dynasty was really a major anchor of Solar Records, and these musicians, Ricky Smith, Mr. Randolph, who's on the show, Wardell, Kevin Spencer, William Shelby, they were really the backbone for the sound you heard, that sound that's really, really, really identifiable, not just in Solar X, but like you're saying, you're a musician, you hear that thing, you know that thing,
right.
It was happening a lot. And Ricky and these guys in Dynasty wrote so many, many songs for a lot of people, everybody on the label, and they were incredibly talented. But what I hope, if any musicians and singers are listening, they were and are really, really good people. They're kind people, very talented, very rooted in good stuff, very talented writers. I mean, we were really kids at the time, pretty much. But there really, truly was a family. We were solid about how we rehearsed, how we worked through songs, how we recorded. And for me, recording was the best. And so my very, very long-winded answer is that these guys really wrote the stuff. They wrote the music. They wrote the lyrics. I participated in it. I did some, but they were gigantic. They really were the people who established this sound that they helped Leon create.
Okay. That's great. That's great. And Richard.
Wow, Linda.
Yes.
No, it's true.
Well, first of all, I'm a little choked up after the Linda's
I'm
statement.
Telling
wow,
you.
That was awesome.
Wow. Awesome. That's great.
To answer your question, that was great what Linda said, and it's very true. I have to admit it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dynasty's live performance made more of an impact on the record industry than anything. Because I mean, years later, because I never got a chance to see us live, but recently I've seen some things of us live on YouTube, and
right.
I was blown away myself at how tight we were. At first, I was listening, and I said, are we lip-syncing? Because, we did a lot of
exactly.
stuff in lip-sync. And I said, no, we're playing live. I couldn't believe it, and I was there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I have to say our live performance was made a huge impact on the record industry, and I got to say this, and I hope nobody listening gets angry, but a lot of the artists we would play with on different shows would sometimes be angry at us. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because we were so tight, and when it was time for the headliner to come out, the audience was still screaming for Dynasty, and that would piss off sometimes.
I remember.
You know what I mean? You know, and that just blew me away. You know, but so when I finally got a chance to see us live, I said, "Wow, I understand now." You know, but keep in mind, I don't know how youngsters nowadays rehearse, but Dynasty rehearsed twice a day. It was a regiment. You know what I mean? It was, you know, we were so tight that the stuff we did, we could literally do in our sleep. And I mean that because sometimes on stage we were asleep. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You don't wear my pants or whatever. You know, but I have to say that was our largest contribution, our live show. And the studio, of course, but that's where that came from because early on, everything was rehearsed first and then recorded live.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you got that natural live feel. You know, later on, because the technology got better, we would do the multi-track thing. But for the most part, all those things were done live. All those were done live. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
powerful. That's powerful.
Oh.
Wardell.
Unbelievable. What was the question again? Because these guys, they're taking me all over the place, man. I am everywhere. And, you know, so do you remember the question, D.A.? I know you're taking some B12, but you know, do you remember?
Okay. Let me help a brother out. No.
ask me a different question then.
The question had to do with the contribution that Dynasty made.
Well, you know, I'm listening to them. I really don't have anything else. I mean, they've said it all. And I think that's, you know, and I'm in agreement with them on that. You know, the only thing I can say is that we were truly an incredible family. And we all have different versions of what happened through that journey. Mm-hmm. The fact that we were the fact that we played on so many different records outside of Dynasty's record, a lot of people have no idea. And that is what really, you know, that's the only thing that I wish people knew, because these guys are definitely worthy of that, you know, that people knew about these guys,
sure.
the things that they've done. They've done so much stuff. We played on so many records. When I put my discography together, I could not believe it. I couldn't even read all the stuff that we did. But, you know, I just want to thank Leon Silvers and Dick Griffey for having the vision to keep us together after they put us together so that we could do the things that we did and gave us the opportunity so that we could become Dynasty, the Dynasty that we became. And unfortunately, we didn't go any further because of whatever the reason is, and Linda will explain that later. But we tried so hard. but we had such a wonderful moment, man. And so many records, so many, and the artists that Linda was speaking about outside of Solar, we're talking about Gladys Knight and the Pips. We talk about the Brothers Johnsons. We talk
Oh, it just goes on and on and on. And Evelyn Champagne King. I mean, we did so many, you know, we talk about the Atlantic Star. We did so many different artists and on and on and on. I could, you know, and that's just scratching the surface, D.A. But there was so much stuff that we've done. And I'm just so proud of these guys. I am so thankful that they are in my life. I love all of them. And they have blessed me. And this is a very difficult day for me to sit, because this is an emotional interview for me. This is not like a regular interview where I'm just talking to Howard Hewitt or, you know, who I love desperately and all those other people that we talk to, D.A. This is my family, and this is really, 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 this is real close for me. So, but, yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say on that. No, I just basically told D.A. I can't interview my own group. You got to do it.
He's
taking the reins. Yeah, absolutely. I can't do it.
Well, that is and was an amazing conversation that I had with the late Richard Randolph, our beautiful sister, Linda Carrier, and Ricky Freeze Smith, who had to go back on, go and perform with the time. And so when I'm listening to this interview and I'm hearing, you know, the love between all of us, it was a beautiful time. And I just wish that I was able to, you know, get everybody on, but the schedules, everybody's schedules all over the place. When you have a big group, it's kind of a difficult coordinating effort. And so, but thank you to the ones that were able to make it. Being in the middle of the day, you know, we did our show early. So thank you. And much love. Thanks to my brother D.A. Williams for, you know, interviewing us. And I kind of cut it short because, you know, we got to keep going here with this show. But Solar Records Radio, we are one big family with all of our Solar artists. We had Steve Shockley on yesterday from Lakeside. It was his birthday. He turned 69, and you would never know it. He is just, you know, a bubble of energy, and he just loves to do what he does on that guitar with Lakeside, and he's a great leader of the group Lakeside. And so much love to all of the members, all of the family from Solar, and we just, every Friday here at Solar Records Radio, we talk about you guys, we celebrate you guys, we appreciate you guys, and we love you guys, and it's just a wonderful honor for me to be able to do this with my team, Eden Astrid, Don Fleming, T. Meyer from Lakeside, to be able to, you know, just give this day and dedicate it to you guys. So thank you so much. Now for my brother, William Shelby, the late William Shelby of Dynasty, and he wrote some of those big songs like And the Beat Goes On and Second Time Around, the first two songs I ever recorded in my life. Both of them went platinum and double platinum. And I think the Whispers are still going with that And the Beat Goes On. It's still selling to this day. That's real crazy. And so that's why that's their biggest hit. That's their biggest hit ever, because that record keeps selling. It's so crazy. I love it. So great royalties to Steve Shockley and William Shelby for that. And all right, guys. So here we go. I want to play this song that William Shelby sang. And this song is featuring him. We don't play it that often, and I don't hear it on the radio that often. Another one of those, you know, album cuts. But there's some great album cuts. I mean, I grew up listening to a bunch of album cuts, and so now I'm playing album cuts from the company I worked for. So here we go on Solar Records Radio. This is called Everlasting by Dynasty. Thank you. Yes, 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 yes. So, you know, guys, I just want you to know that that's another one of those songs that that's Dynasty. You know, we played on so many records, like Linda and Richard was saying. I mean, we played on a lot of records, and we did this all of Carrie's records. We did all of Shalimar's records. We did, you know, half of every Whispers album, because we did all the up-tempos for the Whispers. And so we would do, the up-tempos that Dick wanted us to do. And they did the ballads that were absolutely amazing. And, you know, Nick really wrote some amazing ballads. And he was just a beautiful man and a beautiful spirit. And we miss him very much. And but, you know, Dynasty was busy. I mean, we pretty much did all the stuff for all the artists except for the bands. The bands really did their own thing except for Climax, between Babyhead Fred or Fred Alexander and myself. We played the drums on Climax's stuff in the beginning, pretty much for the first few albums, and then, you know, things changed. But you know, like Midnight Star, they had their own thing. They locked that thing down. And Lakeside, of course, they locked their thing down. They were doing their own thing right from the beginning. Leon Silvers did work with them as a producer, and William Shelby actually worked with them as well. And so it was Dynasty was all over the place. And so I'm very proud of Dynasty. And this show is basically, I just wanted to just showcase Dynasty a little bit, you know. But anyway, I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I hope everything is good for you and you are being blessed tomorrow. Solar wants to dance, and we're just going to hit it hard, up-tempo dance songs, just, you know, for hours straight. Just get up and just start working out with us, right, and getting your groove on. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, and we are rebuilding our website, our new website that we just rebuilt. I complained about this the other day, but we have to, because we had to upgrade it again to be able to have our store doing what we needed it to do. All right, guys, so anyway, I hope you are having a blessed Solar weekend. This is the kickoff every Friday. We love kicking it off with you guys here. So let's keep this music going on Solar Records Radio. I'm going to play you a song that Richard Randolph wrote. And this is another Shalimar song on Solar Records Radio. We'll be back.
You came into my life when I was lost. Thank you.
Question I got was, what were you doing while you were waiting for Leon Silvers to let you know? Let me see. What's that question? What did you do every day? I guess that means while you were waiting for Leon to call you after your audition. Every day I was wondering, what the heck is going on, Leon? Every day I was trying to figure out how, you know, there's things I want to do. I didn't have any bills, but I wanted to, you know, I was just, because I was living with Mom Spencer, Kevin Spencer and them. And so it's just like, okay, so I'm in waiting, just sitting there waiting. I mean, and then I decided after, you know, Mom and I would talk every morning. We would sit down and talk and about all kind of just life and stuff. And but she heard my cries in terms of, you know, like I'm bored and I really need to do something and I need money in my pocket and everything. And somehow she encouraged me to go back to college while I was waiting. So I did. I went and I signed up at LACC, Los Angeles City College, so I could finish my education. And I took my music classes again. And so that's what I was doing. I was just, you know, doing what I had to do so that I can continue to grow in the art that I was pursuing. And so, and that was the best way for me to not be bored. Also, it, you know, Leon knew that I was constantly gone and stuff, and so he started calling more. It's like, okay, we ain't gonna lose our drummer. Come on, Wardell, we get ready to go in the studio and record. And Kevin started going to school too, to the same school, and so we were in the same school together, and that was very interesting. How important was it to you that you didn't disappoint your parents? You know, it was really important to me that, you know, that as a child to my parents, as one of their children, you know, I didn't disappoint them. I remember when I was outside playing and making guns. And I was just a little guy making guns because I knew how to make a gun. And so I would make guns. I'm sorry for telling you guys this part. And so I knew how to make them. And so I would make them. And then I realized that I was going to get in a lot of trouble. And one day I remember my mom was crying because, you know, I got an earring put in my ear. And she was crying. She did not want me to be a gangster. She thought that that meant that I was going to be a gangster. And so, and I was like, I don't want to disappoint my mom. I'm her only son. I have two sisters, but I was her only son. And for some reason, that affected me in a way that really redirected me to make sure that I didn't do anything that would hurt her. And that's the power my mom had over me. And so I just guess that I made sure I was a good person. So that's why, you know, when I was sitting there with that idle mind in California, I decided to go back to school instead of, you know, doing something else to make money or get myself in trouble. So thank you for those questions. It's important that, you know, we really pay attention, right, to, you know, who we are and where we are and what we're supposed to do with what we have been given. And it's important if we could just think, if we just think, I need to do the right thing. I mean, it's easy to do the wrong thing. And sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. You know, like I'm dyslexic and going to college was a challenge. Having to study, you know, and I had to take a lot of classes to try to, I was trying to hurry up and get my degree before Leon Silvers pulled me out on the road. And so I would always have a full load and you know, just to try to hurry up. And so there's a lot of books to read, and it was very hard, very difficult. If it was up to me, if it wasn't for music, I don't think I ever would have went to college. But I was chasing my dream, and it really blessed me indirectly. You know, and it makes me think about this little story where the, you know, how we rescue animals and so one day there was this little dog and don't forget, this is imaginary stuff. And the little dog came over to its master and it says, Michael, can you tell me that story again of how you rescued me? Can you tell me that story again of how you rescued me? And Michael looked down at the dog and says, to tell you the truth, you rescued me. And so it's you know, just doing the right thing can really be a true blessing to you. And you know, like rescuing animals, that's a beautiful thing. It's something that we can do to help another creature. And so, but we also got to think about that in, you know, with human beings. And just I try to do the right thing for my mom. I try not to disappoint her. As a matter of fact, the funny thing about my earring is that when I got old enough and I went to California and I was out there doing the band thing and everything was going good, I put an earring in my ear. I was like, okay, now I can put the earring in, you know. And I remember going home with that earring in my ear. And it was a cross. I put a cross in my ear, and it was hanging down. And my little cousin was in the hospital, and he was very sick. And I went into the hospital to see him, and I took the cross off, and I laid the cross on the bed with him. Actually, I tied it to the end of his bed because he was non-functioning. He wasn't able to talk or anything. He was very sick, and we thought we were going to lose him. And so I left the cross there, and then I went back to New York because we were on the road. And after that, I decided I don't need a ring in my ear anymore. And my mom didn't say anything about it. I saw her look at it. I saw her look. And she knew that I wasn't going to be a gangster. She kind of looked at me kind of like a little rock star or something. And so it was okay, but at the same time, it was something about it. I just decided I'm not going to put an earring back in my ear. I'm just going to leave it out because I know my mom just didn't like it. And so the power of the parents, right? The power of the parents. So thank you, Mom. Thank you for loving me the way you do. Anyway, we got about another, how much more time we got left here? Ooh, 14 minutes left in the show. How much did you begin? Oh, no. How much did being dyslexic have on music school? So being dyslexic, really, I don't know. I don't know the effect it had on. I just knew that just reading drums, as in just trying to read the drum parts, it was all over the place. It was like, you know, with the piano, the piano is kind of the same too, but like if you have like a horn or a violin or, you know, just string instruments, it's kind of like right there, straight up and down, you know. But with the drums, it's all over the whole page. It's the one section is all over the whole page. It's like, oh my God. So, and I don't know if that's just laziness, that I didn't want to do that, but I had to, and I started doing it. So I don't know if that was my dyslexia that created that problem for me, or if it was, you know, laziness. But I got through it. And the funny thing is that by the time I got to California to audition and made the audition, we go in the studio to start recording, and I go, oh, where's the music? And he goes, no. I want you to play what you feel. I want you to play what you feel. I was like, what? Yeah, play what you feel. okay. And so from the beginning, like I said, and the beat goes on the second time around, all that stuff, I just played what I felt. But with that, when I was doing that part, I stopped reading. And so I wasn't reading anymore. You got to keep on reading if you want to be, you know, good at it. And I stopped reading because there was no reason to read. Every time I went in the studio, I was playing what I felt. So that was the way it was. And so from the beginning to the end, I played what I felt in the studio. And so now it's hard for me to go back to wanting to read because I've kind of like set the bar at this is how Wardell Potts Jr., a professional drummer, this is what his feel is. This is how he feels this should go. And so, and that's what I do every time I go in the studio. If people ask me to play, they ask me to play what I feel. And so it's just like it goes on and on and on. So now when I do my own stuff, I just play what I feel as well. So I'm grateful for that. I'm glad that people like that natural feeling that I was given them back in the day. You know, Leon and Dick Griffey and all those guys. It really is like whoever's playing drums on that, I want them playing on all the stuff. And so when they said that and Leon came back and told me Dick said that, I was like, whoa. That's powerful. So anyway, guys, thank you again. I love all of you guys and appreciate you so much for, you know, your questions and your thoughts and your hanging out and just blessing the station. And this is just awesome. I love doing this with you guys, and it's fun. I love it. Steve Shockley and I were talking about it the other day, like how it just, you know, being able to answer some of the questions we don't even know. We don't know how we're going to answer because we don't know what the memory is that's in the brain until you guys ask those questions. And then we have to go search in that part of our brain to get the answer. And there it is. And when we're saying it, we're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so good. So it really blesses us that you ask these questions because you're reaching into our memory bank. And we don't remember that stuff is there until you ask those questions. So thank you for blessing us with the questions. And we hope we are able to, at least I hope that I was able to, you know, answer your questions. I hope that you enjoyed the show. And we, you know, playing stuff from William Shelby, the late William Shelby and late Richard Randolph, who we love so much from Dynasty and missed them desperately. But anyway, and thanks to, you know, Linda and them for coming on and Ricky for coming on and talking with me and Richard about, you know, just Dynasty and our history and my our brother D.A. Williams. And thanks to Greg for making sure we have everything we need and yelling at me for my microphone sounding bad. I love him for that. I trust no one more than him when it comes down to my mic, so. Because he's always been there, just, hey, isn't that this? Hey, let's fix the mic. And so, and my girl Astrid, she's like a quiet storm. I don't know what happened before. She used to be more interactive, but she just communicates with me directly, and she sends me out, say, I need this, I need that. And she'll get all those MP3s and stuff together for me. And so and next thing I know, I get a beep, check your email. And then, oh, yeah, great. And I could just drop it in. So thank you, Astrid. I appreciate you, sweetie. All right. And she's hooked me up with some interviews and stuff. So she's kind of busy behind the scenes. And we appreciate that very, very much. All right, guys. See you tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we love you very, very much and appreciate you here at Solar Records Radio. And thanks to the people that have already bought my audiobook. I do appreciate that very, very much. And part two is coming. It's done. I'm just waiting for it to be finished being edited, and then we'll release that as well. But if you haven't bought it yet and you're thinking about it, you know, just go to solarricketsradio.com, go to the store, and it'll pop up right there, and go ahead on and get it, okay? Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Love you all. Take care, and have a blessed rest of your evening, afternoon, wherever you are, all right? And we, like I said, love you. All right, so I do want to play my sisters here. That, you know, they actually was in, ended up on another label, but it's all us. I mean, it's we love Climax, and they just I mean, not Climax, but Crystal, and of course we love Climax as well. But Crystal was really a wonderful bunch of ladies, and I was talking about D earlier, my friend Crystal that was in D that was in the group Crystal, who passed away leaving our house, and so, but anyway, so just I want to just play their song that they really blessed, and this was a big hit, I believe, over in the UK. So here we go, as per Greg's request. God bless you guys. Good night. God bless.
That waiting game.